Hello there, this is Pastor Ransom, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. Do you want to grow spiritually and increase in your knowledge of God's word? Are you yearning for more of God and His presence in your life? Do you want to know the Holy Spirit, His voice and be led by Him? Do you want to discover, develop and demonstrate God's purpose, plans and callings in your life? Or maybe you feel depressed, frustrated, disappointed, or stagnant, and you want sincere answers to the numerous questions in your heart. One word from God will change your life forever.
One word from God will change your life forever.
Do you know that you can get inspiring, motivating, and revelatory messages that will change your life forever on Carrie Stripe YouTube channel? Do you want to grow spiritually? Do you want to build up your faith? Do you want to scale up your prayer life? Do you want to know God's plan and purposes for your life? Then rush to Carrie Stripe YouTube channel right now. And don't forget to subscribe and turn on the notification button. One word from God will change your life forever.
And by the way, we welcome our online audience. Glory to God. Put your hands together for Him. Thank you for joining us at Carrie Stripe Global Church. If you are in town, kindly drop by and say hi to us, and we will surely make you feel at home. But for now, let's go to God's word, praise the Lord, and receive the reward of the prophet. Glory to God.
Understanding God's unconditional love. And I'll be very simple and precise, simple and precise with this teaching. Understanding God's unconditional love. Praise God. John 3, verse 16, very popular verse of the scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a very popular, common verse of the scripture that we are all familiar with. And for the whole lot of us memorize this scripture when we were at a Sunday school. Many of us learned this scripture. We knew this scripture when we were small, when we were little, when we were young, when we were children. And so these are the scriptures, or this is one of the scriptures that we learned and we memorized. But beyond what we learned when we were young or we were children, this is the scripture that encompasses the gospel. All of the gospel is revealed in this scripture. All of the gospel, all of what Jesus did is revealed in this scripture that we just read. For God so loved the world that He gave the Holy Begotten Son. So let's leave the other part, but let's dwell on the first sentence. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Now, you know, when you look at that sentence now, the intensity is what I want to see there. The intensity is what I want you to see there. For God so loved. God does not just love the world. He does not just love the world. But He so loved the world. God so loved the world. The intensity of the love. So, like you say, I so much love you. It's different from I love you. I love you. Oh, cool. Okay. Amazing. But when you say, I so love you, I so much love you, that shows the intensity and the degree of that love. So God does not just love the world, but He so loved the world that He gave His only Son, His only begotten Son. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So when you look at the love of God, the intensity of the love of God is what made God to surrender His only begotten Son. His love cannot be comprehended, cannot be measured, cannot be fathomed, cannot be earned, cannot be qualified for. He's so loved. It wasn't our perfection that qualified us. It wasn't our morality that qualified us. It was just His love. That was who God is. That is who God is. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Are you hearing me? So, when you are looking, or when you are studying, or you are embracing the love of God, the first thing you have to know about the love of God, to understand about the love of God, is to comprehend the intensity of God's love. Are you with me? The intensity of God's love. God so loved me. God so much loved me. In the first step in understanding the love of God is to understand intensity, the depth of that love, the height of that love. Are you hearing me? The depth of that love, the height of that love. Glory be to God. God so loved the world, then God so loved me. It's not just loving me. He didn't just love me, but he so much loved me. So your first step in understanding God's love is to understand the intensity of that love. Glory to God. 1 John 3, praise God. 1 John 3 verse 1, hallelujah. Let's look at another scripture, 1 John 3 verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath given unto us, bestowed upon us. Behold, what manner of love. What manner of love, 1 John 3 verse 1. What manner of love that the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, when you begin to correlate what we read in John 3 verse 16 and 1 John 3 verse 1, you look at, they are almost like. John 3 verse 16 says, God so loved the world that he gave. So the response of God's love was that he gave. When God loved, he gave. The outcome of God's love was that he gave his son. God didn't just love us by words, but he loved us both in words and in deed. So his love brought in the person of Jesus. His love brought the person of Jesus. Then is this scripture that we just read now, 1 John 3 verse 1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The first scripture says, God loved the world so much, he gave us his only begotten son. Then he says here in that scripture, he says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us to be called, that we be called what? The sons of God. So God's love brought us into sonship. Not that we qualified for sonship, not that we really deserve to be called sons, but his love, the intensity of his love, brought Jesus, number one. Number two, His love also called us sons, made us sons, qualified us to be sons. Hallelujah. Praise God. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So you are called a son of God because he bestowed his love upon you. He bestowed his love upon you. You are called a child of God because God bestowed his love upon you. Hallelujah. You didn't do anything to deserve to be called sons of God or a daughter of God, but because of the intensity, because of who God really is, his attribute, his character, his love. Hallelujah. Are you still here? I hope you got that. Praise God. Now, write this down. Things to know about God's unconditional love. Things to know. Things to know. I'm going to give you 5 or 6 things to know. Write it down. Just going to mention them right now. Things to know about God's unconditional love. Number one, God's love is incredible, is infinite, and is unfailing. Are you hearing me? God's love is incredible, is infinite, and is unfailing. God's love is incredible, unfathomable. Glory to God. Infinite and unfailing. God, the Bible says, his mercies endures forever. His love does not fail. Praise God. You see, we fail in our love. We are not committing our love. Sometimes we relate with people based on our mood and how we feel. Sometimes we operate with our love based on our emotions. But God does not operate with us based on how he feels. His love is unfailing. His love is infinite. His love is infinite. His love is to the ends of the earth. His love is perpetual. His love is unending, everlasting. Glory to God. Are you still here? And so God's love is infinite, incredible, and unfailing, number one. Number two, God's love for me is personal. Oh, glory to God. God's love for me is personal. God's love for me is personal. One of the revelations that you should have about the love of God is to personalize God's love. Yes, God loved the whole world that he gave Jesus to us, but more importantly, God loved me. God loves me. God loves me. Yes, there is a general love that God showed to the whole world. But for the man in Christ Jesus, for you and I in Christ Jesus, God loves us personally. God's love to me and for me is personal. Say that after me. Say God's love for me. Say God's love for me is personal. Glory to God. Number three. Another thing that you should know about the love of God is God's love is real to me as much as it's real to Jesus. God's love is real to me as much as it's real to Jesus. Or put it this way, God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. God's love is real to me as it's real to Jesus. Or you say, God loves me. God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. The same love that he showered on Jesus is the same love that he showers on me. The manner of love that he gave unto Jesus, he showed unto Jesus to call Jesus his own begotten son also, he gave it unto me to be called the sons of God. The difference between Jesus and us is that Jesus is the firstborn of the sons of God. They will follow suit after him. No difference. He told us, go in my name. So when we go in his name, it's as though Jesus is the one taking the place. Praise God. Glory to God. So God's love for me is as real as the love that God has for Jesus. So God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. See, let this thing be settled in your heart. Let this thing be resolute in your spirit that God's love for you will never fail. It's incredible, it's unfathomable, it's unconditional, and it's personal to you. God loves you individually. God relates with you individually. And that he loves you as much as he loves Jesus. God loves you as much as he loves his only son, Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. The next one, number four. To embrace the love of God, I must feed on his love daily. To really realize or embrace God's love, I must feed on the love of God daily. I must meditate on the love of God daily. There must be the meditation of the love of God in my heart daily. To really realize and walk in the fullness of the love of God, then I have to feed. I have to meditate. It's a duty on my part to meditate on the love of God. I have to meditate on the love of God. Now, we are quick to say we love the Lord. We are quick to say, oh God, I want to love you. I want to love you. You know, many sermons and teachings and, you know, Bible studies focused on us loving the Lord. Yes, it's good. It's good. Loving the Lord is good. To really focus ourselves on loving the Lord is good. But you cannot love the Lord if you don't know his love. Jesus said, no man can come to the Father except he draws him. Are you hearing me? You cannot focus yourself on loving the Lord, loving the Lord, loving the Lord. You must first know his love before you can love him. You must first respond to his love. Are you with me? You must first respond to his love before you can really love him. The Bible says, he loved us first. He loved us first. He loved us first. It is the love that he has for us. Then from that, we can express love to him. We cannot love him from ourselves for real. We cannot love him from within us for real. The love with which we love God is from the source of his own love that dwells in us in the first place. You can't love God from your own self-love. It will take the love of God in you to love God back in return. Hallelujah. It will take the love of God in you to love God in return. You can't love God with your own self-love. It will take God's love to love God in return. It will take God's agape in you to love God back in return. Glory to God. I hope you got that. So there's nothing in you to really love the Lord unless his love has been made known unto you. There's nothing in you that can really love the Lord unless you've grasped his love. So in as much as we want to love the Lord, in as much as you've been told, you know, taught, instructed to love the Lord, it's good. But before you can really love the Lord, you must first embrace his love. It is from that revelation of the love of God that we have that we can love God in return. I say it again. Before we can really love the Lord, we must first embrace his love. Before we can really love the Lord, we must first embrace his love. Then from the revelation of the love of God that has come alive in our hearts, then we love God in return. Glory to God. The next one. God's love in me should inspire me to love others. God's love revealed to me should inspire me to love others. God's love in me should inspire me. The love of the Lord that I've embraced, that I've really realized, that I've come alive, that has come alive in me, should then inspire me to love others. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. You see that now? You cannot love one another if there is the love of God is not in your heart. Are you hearing me? You cannot really love people. You know, people say, I want to love. They find that they start loving, they begin to love for a period of time, and they fail in their love, or their love just fades away. Why? Because the source of love in itself is not yet establishing them. So before you can really love and really be establishing that love, the source of that love must be in you in the first place. I mean, people complain that marriage fail or the marriages are failing. People complain that marriages are failing. But to be honest, marriages are not failing. People are the one failing. People are the one failing. Love does not die. People are the ones not responding to love. So the issue is not marriage is failing. The issue is that people are the one failing in loving, in being committed, in being sacrificial, in being responsive to love. Marriage is not failing. People are the one failing. When people respond to love, marriage will get stronger. Praise God. So he says, love one another. But you can't love one another if the source of true love is not found in you. Before I can love the Lord, I must first embrace his love first. Then from the revelation of the love of God in me and in my spirit, then I will love God in return. In the same vein, I will not be able to love somebody else if I have not embraced true love from the Lord in my spirit. I hope you got this now. Love one another, the next verse. For the love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So you must know God and know his love before you can love one another. The next verse, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So God is love. So in knowing the love of God, I'll be able to love. So the reason people are not able to love, it's not because they can love, but because the source of true love is not yet realized in them. When they have that true love in them, it'll be easier for them to love. Praise God. I mean, people say the problem in the world today is HIV, malnutrition in Africa, COVID-19, war, crimes, bad leaders. You see, all of those things, they could be excuses to the failures in the world system. But beyond that, the root cause of the world system, the root cause of the failure in the world system today is nothing else but selfishness. Selfishness. Selfishness is the root cause of all sin in this world. Selfishness. A man that was appointed to become a president in the office, to become a president of a nation, will get there and begin to amass wealth to himself, for himself and for his family, because he's selfish. Somebody who's meant to be in charge of, you know, some finances in an organization Once he get there, he gets tempted and he begins to steal money. Selfishness. Somebody who got married to a newly wedded woman and get home and begin to maltreat and abuse her. Selfishness. Somebody will leave the house, arm themselves with suicide with bombs and go to kill people. Innocent life. Selfishness. Because if you're thinking about yourself, if you think about about others, you will not do all those acts. You see that now? You're always thinking about yourself, how you take money, how you arm somebody, how you abuse somebody. But if you think about somebody else, about others, about their pain, you will not take those steps. So you must have love rooted in you first before you can really extend those love to others. Selfishness is the root cause. And only the word of God can remove selfishness. Only the word of God can remove selfishness. And only the revelation of God's love can remove selfishness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 9 says, In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Verse 10, herein is love. Hallelujah. Herein is love. Praise God. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. You see that now? Herein is true love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. True love is understanding that God loves me first. Embracing that love. That you'll be able to flow with that love to others. And send his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11, beloved, if God loved us, if God so loved us, then we ought to love one another. So it is the revelation of the love of God in me that causes me to love somebody else. It is the revelation of the love of God that's at work in me that I've embraced. You can't give what you don't have. You see, you can't love somebody else. You can't love someone else if you don't love yourself. And you can't love yourself if you don't embrace God's love. It's a chain. Before you can love yourself, you must embrace God's love. Before you can love somebody else, you must love yourself. Praise God. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love another, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And his love is perfected in us. You see that now? If we love one another, God dwells in us. And his love is perfected in us. This love, this kind of love is agape in the Greek context. It's called agape. It is the God kind of love. It is a God kind of love. Every other kind of love is selfish. Human love, sexual love, the end in this world, brotherly love. But the God kind of love encompasses all other kinds of love. This kind of love, this God kind of love will tell you how to treat your wife, how not to be harmful to others, how to put people, other people first. Are you hearing me? So this kind of love will help you to excel in brotherly love, in sexual love to your spouse, in charitable love, in giving of alms to the needy. This kind of love will help you. When you embrace the God kind of love, you'll be able to excel in other kinds of love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So every man in Christ Jesus has the love of God in them. But you see, we must be awakened to the work of God in us through meditation, through understanding, through learning, and through receiving by obedience and by instruction the word of God. Every believer has the love of God. Bible talked about that in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So every believer at salvation received the love of God. In you is God's love. In me is God's love. Down in my spirit is God's love. Are you hearing me? But you see, the fruits of the love of God will not come alive, will not be obvious if that love is not subjected to the study of the Word of God and to the meditation of God's Word. It is in the meditation of God's Word I'll be able to realize what I really have. Everyone has the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the product of the recreated human mind, human spirit rather. The human spirit you know, came as salvation with those products. All of our spirits, you know, the man that was born again is a spirit man. So God did not just get born again. You're not just born again. You're not just born again empty. You are born with fruits. And part of that fruit is love, joy, peace, temperance, long-suffering, kindness, meekness. You see that now? So those fruits are part of you, but they will not be obvious, or they will not be manifest, or they will not come alive in full expression if you don't subject the spirit and the mind into the word of God. It is the word of God that produces those things out of you and makes them obvious for the world to see. Praise God. So the love of God is in your heart. God's love is in my heart. Praise God. But those love must be, you know, manifested through the word of God. It is the word of God that pushes, you know, those attributes, those traits, those characters out. You see that now? No matter how good you are, no matter how righteous you are, if you don't subject those qualities to the word of God, they won't come out. They won't come alive. They won't be obvious. Praise God. And that's the reason for the study, personal study of God's word, and also the teaching of the word of God. It unveils the mind of God to you. It unveils the thought, the mind of God to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's love is in me. Say, God's love is in me. Say, down in me is God's love. Say, down in me is the love of God. Say, down in me is the love of God. Down in my soul, down in my mind is God's love. So I love. I love without looking for anything to gain, because God's love in me is unconditional. I do not love based on how I feel or my emotions. I love unconditionally. I love as God loved me. I do not love to get a return of thanks, or to get a pat on my back, or to get accolades or an award, or to get to be recognized by some fellow. I love because love is me personified. I am love personified because God's love is in me, and I've embraced that love, and I show that love to somebody else. Glory to God. You got that now? Praise God. Praise God. Write this down also. Things to know about God's kind of love. Again, another one. Things to know about God's kind of love. God's kind of love is committed. One, it is committed. God's kind of love is committed. What is commitment? Commitment is placing a demand on yourself for the joy of others. When you know, when you are filled with love, you are committed. Committed to a true cause, to loving your spouse, to be committed to the things of the Spirit, committed to making things work. You're placing a demand on yourself because love burns in your heart. God's love, agape, is committed. Number two, agape is forgiving. Agape is forgiving. Hallelujah. Agape holds no record of wrongs. Agape, there's this saying that says you can only forgive, but you can't forget. No. That's not agape. You can only forgive, but you can't forget. No, agape forgives, and agape forgets. Praise God. Because agape is forgiving. When you forgive, you forgive. No holding record of wrongs. Imagine God forgiving us all our sins and say, don't worry, your sins I forgive you, but I can't forget. No. The Bible says, all your sins I will remember no more. As far as the east is from the west, so he has taken our sins and iniquities away from us. Glory to God. So when God forgave you, he forgot your sins as well. So when you're forgiven too, you have to forget. You have to forget because agape in you, the love of God in you is forgiving. Hallelujah. Say, God's love in me forgives and holds no record of wrongs. Praise God. The next one, agape is sacrificial. Agape is sacrificial. It may not be easy. It may be difficult. It may not all go well with me, but I am prepared for it because my love can handle it. It may not be easy. It may not all go well with me. It may be difficult, but I'm prepared for it because my love, agape in me, can handle it. Agape can handle anything. It can handle the worst of sinners. It can handle the most rejected man in the world. Agape will handle it. Agape is merciful, sacrificial, loving, forgiving. Glory to God. It may not be easy, may be difficult for me to do, but I can handle it because the love in me is prepared for it. Hallelujah. The next one, agape is selfless. Say selfless. Agape is selfless. Agape is selfless. The love of God in me is selfless. It puts other people first. I do not always think about what I stand to get. You know, there are Christians that are believers. They're not going to put their commitment in something if they won't get anything from it. That's not agape. Love looks beyond what you stand to gain. Love, the love of God in your heart, in your spirit, the love of God that burns in you, looks beyond what you stand to gain. There are people that will not commit themselves to a project or to a cause if they will not gain something from it. No, we are past that level. We are not that kind of people. Our race, no, we are not that kind of people. We put our mind on something because of the love of God, not because we want to gain something from it. I mean, you see people say they won't come to church, they won't serve in the church, if they will not give them salary to play the piano, if they will not give their salary to play the drums. You have your reward already. You already got your reward already when you are being paid for working in the house of the Lord. What would you do if you don't serve the Lord with your life, with your talent and your skills? Until when you have to demand a fee for it. No, not my life. Glory to God. Not my life. My life is selfless. My gifts, I serve God with my gifts selflessly. I serve God with my time, resources, and energy selflessly. Praise God. Even beyond church and ministry stuff, be a selfless leader, a selfless servant, a selfless follower, a selfless steward, a selfless steward. Don't always think of what will I gain, what will I get. If I'm not going to get anything from it, then I'm not in for it. No. Agape rules you. Oh, glory to God. Agape reigns in me supreme. So I'm not thinking about what I will gain from it. I'm thinking about how we'll make the world a better place. I'm thinking about how people will be happy. I'm thinking about how people will be comfortable. I'm thinking about how they will progress. Glory to God. That's a glory to God. The next one, agape is patient. Agape is patient. The love of God in your heart is patient. Patient. Glory to God. It's patient. Waits for people to change. You're not in a hurry to condemn or cast people out or to throw them away. See, if it does not work with my time frame, if I cannot, I'm giving it just 6 months, 3 months. No. God waited for us to come this far. Praise God. He waited for us to come this far. You know, he didn't give us a time frame to change. No, he waited for us to come this far. And when we responded to his love, he embraced us. Praise God. Because God is long-suffering. He's patient. So how long can you wait to see the change in that woman that you called your wife, that you love so much? How long can you wait to see that change from that bad habit? How long can you wait to see that change before you pass a condemnation, a judgment, a sentence over that fellow? Agape is patient to see the best that comes out of people. Agape suffers long. It waits to see the best that will come out of people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, down in me is the love of God. And I respond to the love of God in me by loving another. Say, down in me is God's love. And I respond to the love of God in me by loving one another. Come on. Say, down in me is the love of God. And I respond to the love of God in me by loving one another. Praise God. So we go right now on a short break. When I come back, I'm going to continue this teaching as we make progress. Praise God. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned and hang in there. I'll be right back. Glory to God.
It is what you do in this world that determines what you get up there. And we must not be lost in this world. We must know that there's a home. There's a home in heaven. We are pilgrims in this world that sojourn us. And one day you will be gone. It is the work that you do that furnishes you in this world, that prepares you for the reward that God has in store for you. So I must not be carried away with everything I have to get, eat, wear. No. Life is more than that. It's more than that. The reason you are saved is that men should see the good works. Proofs. Good works will convert people more. Proofs of a changed life. It is your life that will communicate the gospel. They must see that this guy has changed. What changed your life? What transformed your life? They must see. I said, when they see, they will not what? Glorify your Father in heaven. The church must raise an army of proof producers. Proof what? Producers. Proof producers.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Welcome back from that short break. And if you are just joining us, we'll be talking about understanding God's unconditional love. Glory to God. So we go and make progress right now as we look at Ephesians chapter 3. Then we read from verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Verse 16. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in a man. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. You see that now? So God wants you and I to be rooted. Say amen. Glory to God. God wants you and I to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. So with all of the things that you know, with all of the revelations of God that you know, with all of the fullness of the Christ that has come alive in your heart, but yet he wants you rooted. Glory to God. He wants you rooted and grounded in love. He wants me rooted. He wants me to walk in love. You see, no matter how much you operate in the gift of the Spirit of God, no matter how much you operate in the things of God, miraculous power, supernatural, all of those stuffs, God's love is still the ultimate. Because you could do all of those mighty miracles. If you don't walk in love, all of those things are just like empty. They're like empty barriers before the Lord. Because God rewards more of character. He rewards more of our fruit, of our lifestyle in this world. And our lifestyles are measured by our love walk. The character that we exhibit in this world is measured by the way we respond to the love of God in our hearts. So God wants me rooted. God wants you and I to be rooted. He wants you rooted. He wants me rooted in the love of God. Not just, but grounded too. He wants us to be filled with love. Everything about you is filled with love. Your words, love. Your thoughts, love. Action, love. Your character, love. Attitude, love. I mean, you see people come to church, worship the Lord, lift hands towards heaven, praise the Holy Ghost. But they can't keep the decorum. Temperament-wise, man, they're off balance. No. It doesn't want you misbehave. It doesn't want you uncontrolled. It doesn't want you unruled. No, it wants you maintain your attitude, character, in a way that is pleasing and it's model to people around you. So it wants you rooted and grounded in love. When you are rooted and grounded in God's love, you'll be able to exhibit that love and the trait of that love to those around you. Don't just claim I love the love of God. Don't claim I love the Lord. No. Do you exhibit that love to yourself first? Do you even love yourself? Do you love yourself? Because the kind of words that you say to yourself when you're under tension, when you're under pressure, shows how much love that you tell yourself, how much love that you show to yourself. I mean, people will abuse themselves. They will blame themselves. They will curse themselves because of what they're going through. It shows you don't love yourself. If you love yourself, you will not use those words, those uncomplimentary statements to yourself. Are you hearing me? And for you to really love yourself, you must embrace God's love first. For you to really love yourself, you have to embrace God's love first. Praise God. You can't love yourself if you have not embraced God's love. So he wants us rooted. He wants you and I rooted and grounded in God's love. He wants me rooted. He wants you rooted. Say, God wants me rooted. Say, God wants me grounded in love. In love. And by that, I'll be able to respond to love. Respond to people's need. Respond to people's affliction. Praise God. Then the next verse. It says, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that he being rooted and grounded in love. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Right. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ with passing knowledge. The passing knowledge. That ye might be filled with the fullness of God. So he says, when I know the love of Christ, then the result will be the experiencing of the fullness of God. When I come to grasp the love of Christ, then I will come to experience the fullness of God. The fullness of God is in the love of God. The fullness of God is realized when you know the breadth of the love of God, the length, the depth, and the height. The breadth of your love, the breadth of your love, the width of your love. How wide is it? How wide is the width, the breadth of your love? What is the coverage? Who does it include? I mean, you see people say, I can only love those that love me. You know, there are quotes that you hear these days that are not even consistent with the word of God. He says, they'll tell you, go where you are celebrated, not where you're tolerated. Only appear at the places that you are celebrated, not at the place that you are tolerated. Those quotes are not in consistency with God's word. Those quotes are not consistent with God's word. The word of God does not tell you to go where you are celebrated. You go where the Lord tells you to go. There are places that you have to go that nobody will honor you there. But God wants to pass a message there. He said, go where you're celebrated, don't go where you're tolerated. Go where the will of God tells you to go. Praise God. Jesus came to Nazareth. He was not celebrated, but God told him to come there. Paul went to different places and they even stoned him. They stoned Paul. Sometimes Paul had to run away from a city. Sometimes he was let from a basket, from the upstairs. He had to run for his life. If Paul had gone ahead, if Paul had lived by those quotes, say, I'm only going to preach where I'm celebrated. I will not go where I'm celebrated. No. So your love, what is the breadth of your love? What is the coverage of your love? How wide it is? How wide is it, rather? Who does it include? Can it include the worst of sinners? Oh, I can't stand that fellow. I can't stand, that odor. I can't stand that disease. I can't stand that sick fellow. No. The love of God in your heart, we include everyone. The unprivileged, less privileged, underprivileged, battered, disabled. Glory to God. Because your love has a wide coverage. Hallelujah. Your love has a wide coverage. Can I really love everybody genuinely? Can I really love everybody genuinely? Like a man of God will say, every child is your child. Oh, I love those words. Every child is my child. Every child is my child. When I say child, it doesn't matter whether I'm the father or not. I say child, every child is my child. There's no child I see I don't like. There's no child I see that I will not like. Because I see every child like my child. I will not maltreat a child because it's not my child, or because I didn't give birth to that child. When I see a child, a little children, I see every child like my child. Because the love in my heart covers everybody, has the interest of everybody. So don't say I can't stand him because why? You don't like him. I mean, you have someone you don't like. You have someone that you don't like, and you have the love of God in you. I mean, you see believers say, do you know what it means to hate somebody? You hate someone and you profess to be a Christian. So Paul says that we may comprehend with all sin the breadth, the width. Glory to God. What is the width of your love? What is the coverage? How wide is it? What does it include? Can you really accommodate everybody? Now, I do not mean now boundaries. I do not say now because you want to really expand the coverage of your love, then you now go and bring everybody to your house. I mean love. Not boundaries. There's a place of boundary. There's a place of loving everybody. You get the point. Are you with me now? So don't get it twisted. Praise God. So, I mean, love your heart. There's no one that you don't like. There's no child you don't like. You're willing to love everybody. I mean, you see the world today, we live in a world today where people are judged by the colors, by the background, by the pedigree, and by their status, by how much they have, by their influence in society. People are judged by those things. And believers, too, have been trapped in that web as well. So you see all the pastors and believers, you judge them by the way they appear, or by the levels of their materialism, or by the exposure, or by the way they know. Those kind of things are healing to us. No. Believers are trapped in that kind of web. You see them judging people by what they have, who they know, what they're exposed to. No. Those are not the traits of the love of God. The love of God accommodates everybody. God's love in my heart accommodates everybody. The love of God in my heart covers everyone. So Paul talked about the wheat, the bread. The next one is the length of the love of God. The length. How long is it? How long can it suffer? How long can you wait to see that change? Can you really love to see the change in your wife? You keep complaining and keep complaining, but the word of God says right now, stop complaining and wait to see the change in that your spouse that you love so much. How long can you suffer? It's called long suffering. Long suffering. How long can you suffer and wait to see the change in that member of your church? To see the change in that colleague and the staff that you love so much. Oh, I love you so much, but this one thing is what makes me dislike you. I love you so much, but this weakness, this frailty of yours wouldn't just let you go. No, how long can you wait to see? If God could wait all these years, 2,000 years, to send Jesus and save us, how much more? The same love in your heart can wait to see the change in that person that you desire so much. Praise God. Hallelujah. How long, how far can it go? Can it pursue the worst of sinners? Can it be stretched limitlessly? How far can it go? Can your love stop? Can it reach a breaking limit? Like an elastic, and you are drawn so much and dragged so much, will you break? Oh, no matter how much I'm stretched, no matter how much I'm expanded, no matter how much I'm stretched, I'm not broken. I refuse to be broken because my love can go far. How many times can you forgive? How long? How many times can you forgive? You keep forgiving. I say, I'm tired. I can't forgive anymore. No, your love is not long yet. You have to be long. It has to be long. Suffering. Long. How many times can you forgive? You keep forgiving. I told you, agape is forgiving, selfless, unconditional. Glory to God. Praise God forevermore. How far can you withhold? How far can you hold on to? How can you forgive? Praise God. And the next one is the depth of your love. The depth of your love. The depth of your love. That refers to the intensity. Like I said in the beginning of this teaching, God so loved the world. So loved the world. Not just that he loved the world. He so loved the world. That is intensity. What is the intensity of your love for the Lord? No, some love the Lord. I told you, like we did the series some weeks ago, some love the Lord on the surface. There is a surface relationship. There is the surface relationship. There is the deep relationship. There is a deeper relationship. So the intensity of your love, what is the depth of your love? Are you serving the Lord because you want a miracle? Or you want a testimony, or you want a healing, or you want to just, get something from God, or are you serving him for who he is for real? Are you loving the Lord because you don't have an option? What is the depth of your love? How is the love of God born in your hearts? Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now we'll look at this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us. You see that now? God's love constrains us. Because we don't judge that everyone died for all, then we're all dead. Verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should no henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. The love of Christ constrains us, compels us, pushes us. You see that now? Pushes us to love. That if Christ died for us, then we are all dead. You know what it says? You know what it says? That he died for all. We that live now should no longer live unto themselves. So the love in your heart will cause you not to live unto yourself. We cause you to live unto him who died for you and rose again. The love of God in your heart will cause you to live unto him. You won't live for yourself. You will live for him and live for others. Life is not about you, myself, me, I, myself, I. Life is about him and others. Life is about him and others. Life is about him and others. Say, my life is for him and for others. Say, my life is for him and for others. As the Lord blesses me, I give back to him and I give to others. As the Lord has shown me mercy, I show mercy to others. The Bible says, he that showeth mercy shall receive mercy. Praise God. That's love born in your heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. John 15 verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love had no man than this, that a man should lay his life for his friend. A man should lay his life for his friend. Love lays everything. Lays excuses. Lays argument. Lays all murmuring. Lays all, you know, complexity. To let God have the preeminence. To let God have the total preeminence. You surrender all. Lay it all. It's not until when you kill yourself. No. Lay your resources, lay your time, lay your attitude, your character. Not for the sake, not for your own sake, but for the sake of the glory of the Lord and for the benefit and the comfort of others. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So how do I get rooted? Let's close with this. Praise God. How do I get rooted and grounded in God's love? We'll close with this. How do I get rooted and grounded in God's love? So I'm going to give you just one or two. Number one, 1 John 2 verse 5. 1 John 2 verse 5. We answer with the word of God. But whoso keepeth his word, verily in him is the love of God perfected. Whoso keepeth his word, verily is the love of God perfected. Now, the love of God is still in your heart, but it's not perfected. But keeping his word will perfect the love of God in your heart. You see that now? There's love in your heart, but that love is not perfected. But keeping his word will not perfect the love of God in your heart. So he says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Anyone who does the word and keeps God's word, they will know that God's word is perfected in him. So the reason you're misbehaving, you are in and out. Today, you love, tomorrow, you're not loving. Today, you are not consistent, tomorrow, you're consistent because the word of God is not kept, it's not stored in your heart. So if you keep God's word, then the love of God in your heart will be perfected. So how do I get rooted and grounded in love? By putting the word the first place, number one. By putting the word the first place in everything that I do, say, and think. Put the word the first place in everything that I do, say, or think. Before I say something, does the word of God approve of it? Will this give God the glory? Before I take a step, I act on something, does the word of God approve of it? Will it get God the glory? Will this glorify the Lord? Before I release this statement, before I make this argument, before I really act this way, before I refuse to do this, will God get the glory out of the situation? Or will he dishonor the Lord? So you get rooted and grounded in God's love by putting the word of God the first place in your life, in your words, in your thoughts, in your action. I told you there are three ways you can commit sin. Only three ways sin are committed: words, thought, and action. You don't commit sin beyond those three levels: words, thoughts, and action. So before you think, before you speak, before you take action, put the word the first place. When you do that, the love of God in your heart will be perfected, and such that you will not misbehave, you will not mistalk, or you will not talk out of context. And you know, every challenge, every crisis is rooted in misunderstanding. Every crisis, every argument is rooted in misunderstanding. Anywhere in the world, marriage, political, anything, is rooted in what you say that I did not hear well or that I did not interpret well. So before you say something that will be misinterpreted, then let the word be the guiding light to the words that come out of your mouth. The next one, by habitually learning and knowing what the word says about the situation that I am in. By habitually learning and knowing what the word says about the situation that I am in. It's one thing to put the word in the first place, but what you have to know habitually and know what the word says about the situation that I'm in. Praise God. That as you are growing in this, and as you are making progress in this, because it's not a day's job. It's going to be consistent, gradual. A consistent and a gradual thing. Day in, day out. You have to put effort. You know, sometimes you forget. Sometimes there will be false steps and false starts. Sometimes you will forget. Sometimes emotions and your will take the lead and put the word behind. But you still have opportunities to try again next time to put the word in the first place so that your emotions will not get in the way. Sometimes emotions will have done the harm, then you now forget the word. Forget to put the word in the first place. Then you have another time of opportunity to put the word in the first place. It's a gradual thing. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. This didn't say by the renew. Renewing. It's a continuous presence. Present tense, renewing of the mind. So my renewal is not a day's job, it's every now and then. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Last scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Hallelujah. Romans 8, verse 35. Okay, before we go there, beg your pardon, the scripture, Jude 20. Two more scriptures. Then this one, then the last one. Jude 20. But ye beloved, build it up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And the next verse, 21, says, keep yourself in the love of God. So, verse 21 is a result of verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, then keeping yourself in the love of God. So what keeps you in God's love is when you pray in the Holy Ghost. You see that now? When you pray in the Holy Ghost, it helps you to keep you in God's love. You see, prayer does it. Not just putting God's word in first place, but also praying. There's something that prayer does to your soul. Prayer softens the soul. You know, prayer softens the souls. It softens the souls. It softens the mind. Nourishes the soul. Softens the soul. There are some stony hearts, some stiff-necked hearts. Praise God. So prayer does it. So pray in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in God's love. So while you pray in the Holy Ghost, then you automatically keep yourself in God's love. So number one is to put God's word in first place in your life. Number two is to habitually learn and know what the word says in that situation. Number three, then pray in the Holy Ghost to keep yourself in the love of God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, you see that now? If you have really embraced, found, and grasped this love, if you have really embraced and grasped this love, nothing should be able to pull you out from the love of God. If you have really embraced God's love, if you have known the love of God, if you have really consumed that love, nothing shall be able to pull you out. Not even martyrdom, not even hunger. So he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? There are people that once things are not going in the direction, they can easily just, oh, I'm not going to church. Oh, it's raining today. Ah, man, no church. Because it's raining, no church. So rain can even stop you from going to church. I mean, what about those who walk distance, miles to fellowship? In China, the underground church in China. I mean, in Nigerian church, believers are making an excuse that rain is falling and that's why they can't go to church. That's not even a tribulation. That's just a natural occurrence. Rain falling. And you say you can't go to church. Then you need to check the love of God in your heart. You say, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? If rain can stop you from coming to church, then government policy will do much harm to you. Can affect your faith then? If rain can stop you from coming to church, from serving the Lord, then government policy will stop you from praying. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And Paul, these are the guys that have come to terms with their love of Christ. They don't care. They've damned the consequences. Sword, bring it on. Glory to God. Peril, bring it on. Nakedness, bring it on. I mean, these guys were stoned, chased out of the city, yet they wouldn't deny the name. Oh, what a man like Paul. Oh, Suvradishalamandiasta. Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we were killed all day long, and we are counted as a sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Nay, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We have embraced his love, so we are more than conquerors. See, there are things that will not help you to survive the times. Faith will not help you to survive sometimes. It will take the love of God to keep you going. Sometimes faith will not be the response that you will need for that challenge. What will keep you going is the love born in your heart. You've experienced delay. You've experienced persecution, rejection. And yet, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And nothing shall be able to separate us. Look at verse 38. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? Are you resolute? Are you convinced about what you receive? This salvation, this price that was paid for you. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor power, nor pains present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These are guys who are dead. I mean, they are dead to life, dead to self, dead to platform, dead to popularity, dead to fame, dead to money, dead to anything. What burns in their hearts is the love of God. So I ask you today, what is burning in your heart? What is burning in your heart? If the love of God is not born in your heart, then what else is born in you? The things of this world? The affairs of this life? See, the world goes with all these problems. The world is going with all of these beauty, problems, and issues. But what we abide forever is the man that is established in the love of God. Trends will come and go. Styles will come and go. Vibes will come and go. People will come and go. Family will come and go. Money will come and go. But what abides forever is the love of God burning in your heart. For his word, for his name, for his work. Glory to God. Are you blessed tonight? Lift your hands if you are blessed and worship him and praise him. Thank him because the love of God has been rekindled in your heart tonight. And you will flow in the frequency of that love in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Are you blessed? Great. Praise God. What a night tonight. Praise God. Are you blessed? Praise God. You can give your offerings. The details are on the screen. Praise God. Partner with us. Give and give. Give to support the work of God at Carriage Tribe. Give for the love of the Lord. The bonds in your heart. Give and give and give and give and give and give. Praise God.
Hello. My name is Blessing Annie. And today I was in church right here at Carriage Tribe. Pastor taught us about the Holy Spirit, how to pray. The one that even got me like off balance was when we had to pray immediately after the sermon. I don't think I can explain it. It was heartfelt. Like you could just feel how you get to surrender like everything and just enjoy and be in the presence of God. And honestly, I can't explain it. See, there's no word I can use that I can explain how service was today, how the word was shared, how it was broken down to the understanding of everyone. So I am here inviting you to Carriage Tribe. Please, please don't miss it. Just come and experience it. Come and enjoy the goodness, the full.
I hope you've been blessed by this teaching. And if you are hearing me right now, this is the time to make that decision. This is the time of your life to experience the change and live your life purposefully. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Jesus loves you and he wants to color your world with his grace. If you would like to make Jesus the Lord of your life today, or you would like to rededicate your life, simply say after me. Oh Lord God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Your word says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I ask Jesus to come into my heart to be the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit, and according to Romans chapter 10 verse 9, that if I shall confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. Therefore, I believe and I confess that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and I receive his lordship into my life. I declare that I am saved. I am born again. I am a child of God. I have Christ dwelling in me, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Henceforth, I walk in the consciousness of my new life in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I am a brand new man. Now, if you are sick in your body, or you have a disease or pain, or infirmity of any kind, or maybe you have someone who is sick, or perhaps you're facing a difficult challenge in your marriage, in your finances, in your health, in your family, or in business, lay your hands where that sickness is, or you put your hand on your head, and the power of God is going to break that yoke, heal that sickness, and change that difficult situation for good now. Yes, in the name of Jesus, I curse that pain now. I destroy that yoke now. I curse that sickness to leave your body and come back no more. I destroy that yoke that is ravaging your body, ravaging your home. The problem is solved and settled now. That breakthrough is yours now in the name of Jesus. That miracle belongs to you right now. Receive it now. You are free in your health. You are free in your business. You are free in your marriage. Hallelujah. You are free now. Receive it now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank God. Thank God for that miracle right now. Go ahead and give him praise because you have it and it's yours. Glory be to God. Hello there. Do you want to grow spiritually? Do you want to discover, develop, and demonstrate God's purpose for your life? Do you want mentorship in the work of the ministry? Or you desire a platform where you can be equipped and discipled? Or you want counseling and prayer? Visit CarriageTribe.com. carrystripe.com. Till I come your way again next time, God has blessed you and grace is multiplied unto you.